Amen. Wow. I'm ready for the word. How about you? Have I missed out anything yet? Amen. Follow me. Say the word. Follow me. Just two words. One simple command given by Jesus Christ. Follow me. And when we follow Jesus, according to the Bible, to what is in God's word, when we follow Jesus according to the Bible, this Jesus will change and transform our life. We are not to follow Jesus according to the fence or the wind of this world. We are not going to follow Jesus according to the image of God that you like to make. You don't follow Jesus the way you want it to be. You follow Jesus according to what? The Bible. The Bible is the only way that we can read and see to follow Jesus. And we have to follow Jesus because billions in this world has followed Jesus and acknowledged him both as what? Savior and Lord. There may be people who will follow Jesus and see him only as what? Savior. He will save me from sin. But they may not follow him as what? As Lord. You must follow Jesus as both Savior and Lord. And those billion who has done that, even some who are willing to follow Jesus and die for following Jesus. Wow. You know, we talk about Christians that have been persecuted around the world. Somehow in Australia, we are so insulated, and sometimes we do not know what is happening around the world. Christians that follow Jesus, dying for their faith. Because these people who follow Jesus sees this, that their time on this earth is just only a speck of what? Of eternity. Can you understand that sometimes we are too caught up with just here on earth that we forgot that this is just a passing, a passing. This is just a transition to what is to what? To come. And what is that? Eternity. To be with Jesus. So Jesus said to you, follow me. Follow me and be my what? My disciple. He didn't say, follow me and become rich. He didn't say, follow me and become successful. He didn't say, follow me and have a good life. He said, follow me and be my what? My disciple. You know, and we have been looking at how we are to follow Jesus with our grace value on generosity, relational, and active, Christ-like, and excellent. We have spoke about generosity and relational the previous week by Pastor Kara. Today, I'm going to talk about follow Jesus in activeness, being active for Jesus. And I just want to look at one Bible verse found in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Our God is an active God. He's always working. And sometime when we see what is happening in our world is not getting better. How many of you realize that? Our world is getting worse to worse. When you see the chaoticness that is in this world, and every time when there is chaos, the government comes in and they try to do managed control. But you know, most of the managed control is not working very well. When we look at all these things, it seems that God is distant and God is silent. I wonder, as a Christian, have you ever asked, where are you, God? How many of you ever asked that? Come on, put up your hand, honestly. And we do ask, where are you, God? When I think of that, I think of 400 years of silence. From the time of Malachi to Matthew. From the close of the Old Testament to the start of the New Testament. 400 years of silence. God seems absent, inactive, and silent. But I want you to know in that 400 years, he is not. He is actively working behind the scene, preparing the center stage in the fullness of time for the coming of his son into our world. And even right now, when we look that God seems to be silent, I want you to know that God is working behind the scene because he is preparing for his son to come back the second time, the second coming of Jesus Christ. God is never silent. He is always working. He is actively working. We sleep, he works. We are awake, he works. We are passive and do nothing, he works. He never stopped working. The question that you have asked yourself is this: where are you working, God, so that I can be part of your work? Being active for Jesus. Active like Jesus, not passive. Active with our faith, active with our hope, active with our love. To be active means you are doing, moving, functioning. And when your body, your physical body is functioning and moving, it is good for you. So is your mind, mentally, if you are active. So is your spirit. So when you are active, it's good for your physical, your mental, and your spiritual life. Being active like Jesus. I look at the four gospel. The four gospel record the life and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first 30 years of his life was simple and short. Simple and short account about his birth. You know, then he visited the temple 40 days after his birth. Later, he visited the temple with his parents at 12 during the Passover. I don't know about you, that Saturday night when Julie and Eva, both of them read the Chinese version of the life of Christ. Well, I was very touched. The music was very nice. I was very touched. You know, his life of Jesus Christ recorded in the four gospels from 12 to 30. It was quite silent. Almost silent about his life. Then at 30, he started his ministry. He died at 33. 3 years, 1,095 days of his life and his work recorded in the four gospels. And this is how John put it. This is the same disciple who was eyewitness to all these things and wrote them down. And we all know that his eyewitness account is reliable and accurate. There is so many things Jesus did. If they were all written down, each of them, one by one, I cannot imagine a world big enough to hold such a library of books. Can you imagine that 3 years of Jesus Christ? John said, if we were to write everything he did, the library of this world is not big enough to keep the account of what Jesus did. Because Jesus was always actively working, actively going, actively doing. So how do you compact the library of this world of Jesus Christ that cannot even contain him? How do you compare everything of his life into one simple sentence? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Compact it into one simple sentence. What do you read? And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. For Jesus, everything of his life could be put into one verse. When you are gone, how will people describe and remember you? Would they have said that you are active about your faith, active about your hope, active about your love, that you were active about who you believe? You know, and not just being active, getting more and more of this temporary stuff that perishes, but rather you were actively preparing for eternity. We must live in the light of what? Eternity. Living a legacy behind. What will people remember you and write about you? To follow Jesus in activeness. You want to be active like Jesus? There are four continuously actions. And these four actions must be seen in your life. You know, and it must be evidenced in your life. The first action is this word called going. He went about everywhere. Active in going. Jesus went about everywhere. He went and not stopped. Some people went but stopped. Not went and rest. Not went and sleep. But he went and keep going till he finished his assignment. He went to recruit his 12 disciples. He went to the woman at the well. He went to heal the sick and those who are possessed by demons. He went to the leper. He went to the outcast. Nobody liked Zacchaeus. Jesus went to him. He went to teach and preach the kingdom of God. He went and he kept going. You know, in Jesus' life, not everything was smooth sailing. He faces difficulty. He faces obstacle. But he never stopped going. He never give up. He keep on going. He keep on going till he finished his what? Assignment on earth. How about you? Are you going to go and keep on going? Are you going to finish your assignment on earth? The early church was commanded to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the end of the earth. But they stayed in Jerusalem. They were so comfortable staying that they didn't go until God had to send persecution on them. And then they went near and far with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to go. There are people who do not know Jesus. And unless we rise up and go, the world will perish without hearing the good news. Who would I send? And who will go for us? This is the heartbeat of God to prophet Isaiah while he was in the presence of God. Is it possible that church today enjoy God's blessing so much and fear to hear, who shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah's reply was, "Here am I, send me." How about you? Do you hear the cry of the Father's heart that say, "Who will go? Who can I send to the lost and needy?" God, I will go. Sometime the going may not be far. The going may be just the person before you or next to you. Last Sunday, our speaker, Amit, that came from Compassion Australia. I asked him, "How do you become a Christian?" I'm quite interested in how people become Christian. And he told me that they were Hindus. They were Hindus. They moved from Singapore to Perth, where he was just a small kid, he and his sister. And he told me how he became a Christian. It was one day. The mother brought him and the sister to Spencer Village. How many of you know where Spencer Village? Oh, I know why you like Spencer Village. Brought them to Spencer Village and they were in the car. Mom asked them to stay in the car and the mom went to the grocery shop buying grocery. While she was buying, she was crying. Because what she was going to do was she was going to buy the last grocery to pack her pantry at home And then she was going to take her life. She was in deep, long depression for a long time. So while she was in the grocery shop, the small grocery shop, picking her stuff, a Korean lady, she doesn't know her, the Korean lady doesn't know her, she doesn't know the Korean lady, the Korean lady came to her and just gave her a hug while she was crying. And she said to her, "You do not know me, but I just have this to say to you. Jesus loves you." She didn't preach a message. Jesus loves you. Of course, she was shocked. The next thing, she was in the car. This Korean lady in the car with them. Went back to their house. For 2 weeks, she came to their house till she came to know Jesus. I tell you, sometimes we don't have to say much. How many realize that? Just to tell someone, Jesus loves you. And I want you to know, we need to where? We need to go. Jesus talked about the parable of two sons. The father came to the first son, "Go and work in my vineyard." The first son said, "No, I won't go. I won't go. I got no time. I won't go." But then he said that he repented and he went. Then he came to the second son, "Go and walk in my vineyard." He said, "Yes, I will go. No worry, I will go." But he never went. Who did the will of the father? The first son. I hope you are the first son and not the second son. To go, one must hear and obey. To obey, one must get up. To get up, one must be awake. Like Philip the evangelist, amid of great revival, he hear God say, "Go! Go to the desert." He obeyed and went to the desert to meet just one searching soul. One searching soul. It's important to God. The Ethiopia eunuch matter to God. One. Lately, hundreds of Ethiopian Jews. Do you know that Jews are black color? African Jews, Ethiopian. Hundreds of them is returning to Israel under Operation Solomon. Just go. Yes, God, I will go. Jonah. God also commanded Jonah to go. Remember that? Jonah, go! Jonah went. But he went where? He went to a different place. He went the opposite direction. He went to Jaffa until he had a storm and then he was in the fish belly. Then he said, "Now I will go to Nineveh." Are you going to go for Christ? Or are you going to go about your own business, about your own things, about your own dreams and desire, then going for Christ and do your assignment? Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit and power, just like you and I, we are filled with the Spirit and we have His power. He went to do the will and the work of the Father. So must we. So first thing, if you want to be active, you must go. Secondly, you want to be active is readiness. This is how the Message Bible said about Jesus Christ. He was ready for action. Jesus, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. Jesus Christ was action-packed. He was always ready for action. He said, "I'm ready to do my Father's business, my Father's house, my Father's work. I'm ready." He lived his life ready and active for his Father. And one thing about Jesus, he does not need to be stirred up. Some of us need to be stirred. Come on, come on, come to this Easter with Pastor Jeremy Griffith. Come on. Some people need to be stirred up. Some people need to be pumped. Some people need to be motivated. Some people need to be challenged. But for Jesus Christ, He is always ready for action. He's always ready to do the work of the Father. Why? Why is Jesus always ready? And this is something that we need to have in our life. is this word called compassion. Compassion. Compassion caused him to be ready for action. Jesus saw a multitude of them as sheep without shepherd. And there were a group of them that followed him for 3 days. They didn't eat. He was moved with compassion. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed them. He was moved with compassion when he saw the sick, the blind, and the leper, and those oppressed by the devil. Jesus never suffered compassion fatigue. Some of us, we are compassion. But after a while, we run out of what? Compassion. Oh, please, cannot. Too much. Have you ever felt that way before? Jesus never suffered compassion fatigue because his compassion was given, was inspired, was quickened by the Father above. I don't know about you. I can be tired, but I can still get up and get ready because something above quickened where? Quicken here. Move with compassion. Move and stir by the Spirit. Last Sunday, Compassion Australia was here, and I heard about 5 or 7 children were sponsored by the church. And I believe you sponsor the child because you saw the child that is there, their need. Compassion move you. If you want to sponsor other children from Compassion Australia, go and see Karen. She has few more children to be sponsored. Compassion. It is so important that we need compassion to drive us. Ready for action. Most time we are not ready. We are too passive about our faith, our hope, and love. We are too caught up and too busy with the affair and care of this life. This is what Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14. So then, have your mind ready for action. Is it not good that Peter say, if you want to be ready for action, this hand wants to be ready, what needs to be ready? The mind needs to be ready. Because in the Bible, when you talk about the mind, you need to be ready. The mind is connected to what? The heart. So both must be ready. He said, be ready. Like, have your mind ready for action. Keep alert and set your hope completely on the blessing which will be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Be obedient to God and do not allow your life to be shaped by those desires you have when you were still ignorant. Yes, when I did not know Jesus Christ, the most important thing is about here and now. The most important thing is about getting everything I want on this earth. This earth is all that I have. But he said, now that you know Jesus Christ, don't just live for this present moment and for here and for now. Yes, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I will provide for you. I will bless you. He said, yes, I will do all these things to you. But don't let this be the only reason why you are coming to me. Follow me because you are ready for action. And because you are ready for action, I'm going to pour all these things upon your life. Ready for action. Are you ready for the opportunity and the need before you? Ready to see a need, feel a need. Ready for either small or big assignment. Follow Jesus in activeness is to be ready for action. Are you ready for action? The third action that you need to do is doing. Jesus went about doing. Now, there's one thing about Jesus. He's doing not because he's trying to get the Father's approval or people approval. Sometimes we do because we want to get some points from God or we want people to like us. No. The only reason why Jesus did, he do because he said, I am. I am the Son of God. I see the Father's do, so I do. So Jesus is saying, whatever I do is not to get the yes, the approval of the Father. Whatever I do is because I am His Son. And as His Son, I want to reflect who? I want to reflect Him. Didn't the Bible say that you should do good work so that others may see you and glorify who? Your Father who is in heaven. You see, all of us, we stand here and we say, I am a child of God. Therefore, I am doing because I am a child of God. Because of I am, therefore, I do. Not I do to become I am. Can you understand that? And so we need to do. And Jesus went about doing. And I'm telling you, is it wonderful today? We see five of our brothers and sisters water baptized. Is it not wonderful that the Chinese service, every Tuesday they got praise dance, and then now they got a choir. They love to sing, you know. You know, there's opportunity for us to do. And Jesus Christ went doing. And you need to do, because one thing I want you to know. When you go to the grave, there's a place waiting for you in the grave. When you go to the grave, where you are going, there is neither working or planning or knowledge or wisdom. That's what the Bible says. Whatever you want to do, do it where? Now, with all your strength, with all your mind. Because when you pass from this life, there's nothing more you can do. Jesus went about doing, you know. And you remember we talk about the parable of the goat and the sheep. What's the difference between the goat and the sheep? I know they make different sound. They look different. What's the difference between the goat and the sheep? The only difference is this. The goat did nothing, but the sheep did their work. Jesus said, I was thirsty, you give me a drink. I was hungry, you give me a food. I was sick, you visit me. I was in prison, you came and see me. I was naked, you clothed me. And this is what Jesus said, whenever you do to the least of this, the overlooked and those that have been rejected and be left out, but you're doing to the least of this, created in my image, you are doing to who? To Jesus. So, we need to what? Do. Say amen. Now, this is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Put into practice what you have learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that. And God will make everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmony. So Paul himself said, look, I've been teaching you, I've been talking about you, I've been showing you. Now you need to do is what? Do it. And Paul used the word do it by what? Practice. Practice, make perfect. Practice generosity, you become generous. Practice relational, you become relational. Practice to become Christ-like, you'll become Christ-like. Practice, make perfect. How do you realize that? That you can learn a skill. You can learn a skill learn something or develop a skill if you practice enough. Now, one day I saw Cheng playing the, what do you call that? Harmonica. You know, I tried to play that when I was in secondary school. I did learn, but I never practiced after that. That's why I can't play. You know, I sometimes I look at the young people playing the guitar. I mean, I look at Bach. He's so talented. He can play guitar. He can play this. Some people are just, because they what? They practice. Occasionally, I will play in the prayer meeting, but I only play one thing, C chord and one strum, one way strumming. So you know it's not very nice. But it's practice that make what? Perfect. So why is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying this. You want to be active, you got to do. You want to do, you have to what? Practice. Now I really like cycling. If I pull out my pen, you'll see all the mark that is there. That means I have practiced enough, fall enough. The first time my wife fell from cycling, she make a lot of noise. I said, that is the mark of a person who is cycling. So be happy with the mark. Now, so I've been learning to cycle, you know, and quite well. Then one day, I saw someone. I had this problem when in the slope. Some people can stand up to cycle, but I can't. You know, I cannot stand up to cycle to go up the slope. So going up slope is very painful. And then my granddaughter was next to me, and she was going up the slope, and she stand up. And she said, it's so easy. Yeah, easy for you, young people, but for our old bone, it's not easy. See? So I told myself, I need to what? Practice in order to stand up when I go up to the slope. So another time when I was cycling, I saw this fella with one hand and drinking from the bottle. I said, hey, that's the next thing I need to practice. But one more day when I was cycling, this guy, his two hands was not on the bicycle bar. Then what was he doing? He was texting. Well, I look at that and say, hey, gee, this is the high level of practicing. I also want to reach to that stage. But I know that I cannot do it up the slope standing or drinking while cycling or texting unless I use this word called what? Practice. So what stopped me from practicing? Fear. Fear stopped me from practicing. Why some of us are not practicing? Because we fear of being rejected. We fear of people saying no. But I want you to know, you must have this idea, this in your mind. Whatever you do good to others, whether they accept it or not, you are doing unto who? Unto Him. And He looks at you and He gives you His smile. So, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you? Consciously practice, practice. Practice to be the hand to bless the needy. Practice to be his leg to visit the sick. Practice to be his eyes to see a need and feel his need. Practice to be his mouth to give hope and love to the lonely, the discouraged, and the weary hearted. Be more like Jesus and practice to be like him, and you will be like who? Like him. Practice. The last action is goodness. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Active in goodness. Good is God's character. Whenever we are good, we be good or we do good, who do we reflect? We reflect him. We reflect his character. And this thing about doing good, it's not just an outside. Some people, they can do good, but inside the heart, no good. The reason we are doing good is because inside here is what? Inside here is good. Say amen. We are doing from inside out. God, who is good, dwell in here. And if the good God live in here, there is no room for bitterness. Say amen. There is no room for ugliness. There is no room for selfishness. If God is good and He dwells in here, the goodness of God must influence my heart, must influence my mind, must influence my hand, must influence my mouth, must so influence me that whenever I am good, I do good. It's because He dwells in what? In here. Goodness. Doing good. Jesus went about doing good. So must we. And I want to encourage you, do good. Where do we start? Start where God has placed you. In the office, among your friends. Start with them. Start doing good to those in the church. Start with a little opportunity given to you. The parable of the Good Samaritan tells us the priest was not willing, the Levite was not willing, only the Samaritan was willing, and he did it, doing good to a total stranger. How about you? Go and do what? Do good. Do good with your hand. Do good with your mouth. Do good. Paul encouraged us not to grow weary or give up or quit in doing good. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 to verse 10. So, do not allow yourself to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, you will harvest a good crop if you do not give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Wow! Paul said that there's a place for you to do good. He said, do good to those who are closest to us in the community of faith. Where is the community of faith? Here. The household of faith. The brother and sister that is here. Paul said, do good to them. How do you do good? Not just with your hand. Sometimes with your what? With your mouth. Say something good about them. You know, something encouraging, something affirming, something reassuring. Do good to those in the household of faith. God put you in Grace City Church. This is your household. This is a place that you can do good. And a good place to start is go to the powerhouse. I'm here to recruit powerhouse members. Get involved in the powerhouse. It's a good place. And making an effort to join powerhouse in 2021. And you know, when I put the advertisement on Pastor Jeremy Griffith, the 3 p.m. is called Connection Tea. There is a time for you to come and connect and know each other, and so that you can do good to one another. Say amen to that. Doing good to the household of faith, to those in the family of God, is what God commands us. Now, for this to work, you must see church community not a service station. How many of you go to service station once a week? You know, service station, I know you guys are looking where is the cheapest place to put your fuel. Service station is when you find where is the cheapest place, and then you go there once a week. You have this, I go to the service station, this is the mentality, I'm not connected to the service station, I just go there, I fill the tank, I pay my bill, and sometime I forgot to get a 4-cent discount. Then, wait till next week. No connection. But the church is a household of faith. It's a community of faith. And that is where connection is important. I do not know. Pastor Kara talked about relationship, the outer circle and the inner circle. Can we see ourselves all together as only one circle? Amen? That we should only be one circle, one big family. No. My clique. We are one big family, say amen. We have to break this idea of clique. We are one big family. If we are one big family, one rejoice, all rejoice. One suffer, all suffer. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. Can you say that if the finger is in pain, you take the hammer, you whack your finger, it's in pain. Only the finger feel pain? Or the whole body feel pain? The whole body. So we need to recognize the community of faith that God has put us in. And how important it is when we live to do good to the community of faith. We are showing to who? To our children. We are showing to our children, this is what church is all about. So that they grow up understanding what is church. And they will practice. Have this culture of doing good to build a better, stronger, and a greater future for Grace City Church and the next generation. This morning, some of us must rekindle our activeness in going. Some of us, we need to go and do God's work. Some of us, we need to get ready for action, not ready for our own life, ready for action. Some of us need to be doing and practicing what we are supposed to practice, and then to do good. Maybe today, you say to yourself, I have done my term. I have done my part. I have done my time. When you think of this, I have done my term, my part, and my time. You are saying that serving Jesus Christ is like serving a life prison, a life sentence. I've done my term, my time. No. Serving Jesus should be our motivation and should be our life. Jesus said this, I need to be active about my Father's work, my Father's house, and my Father's business. And he was active to the day on the cross where he said, Father, receive my spirit. You need, and I need to be active to the day you change address from here to there. Until that time, how do you follow Jesus in being active? He went everywhere doing what? Doing good. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, we are the community of faith, the house of faith, the family of faith. Every one of us here, God has given different talents, different gifting, different opportunity, different ability. Now we need to do is to go. Go and use what God has placed in our hand. To be ready to use what God has placed in our hand. And to be doing with what God has placed in our hand. And to do good with what God has placed in our hand. Every one of us here, may I encourage you this morning to say, Jesus, I am available vessel to go, to be ready for action, to do. Would you stand up with me? Every one of us here this morning, may the Holy Spirit so work on you with the Word of God. Let you say, here am I. Spirit, I ask, anoint your people afresh with the power that is upon Christ is the same power upon us that we go everywhere to do good. Everywhere we go, God, then we'll go. And Lord, I pray, may our faith be strong, our hope be bright, and our love be so genuine that we are doing good to those that you put across our pathway. I ask, touch our eyes to see, touch our hand to bless. Touch our mouth to give hope. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.